The following program is a production of St. Peter the Rock Media and is brought to you by you. If you like it, consider making a donation and supporting Catholic radio programming on AM 1260 The Rock.
Go to am1260therock.com and click on the orange donate button.
The humanity of the priest is a bridge to encountering Christ and should not be a barrier. People always say, like, well, if you weren't a priest, what would you be doing? And I'm like, it's hard for me to think of anything other than what I'm doing.
That's what we're striving to discern, is what is God's plan, his dream, his will, his desire for me, where I'm going to be most fulfilled. And it really is through living a sacramental life that is absolutely going to support that.
When you're married, you have to realize it's not just you anymore. It's you and your wife and God.
If you desire to be truly happy, then your life should not be about you.
Welcome to God Calling, our locally produced program that explores the various vocations available to Catholics in all walks of life. Now here's your host, Paul Orlowski.
Thanks for joining us once again. This is Paul Orlowski, and our guests today have a unique perspective. Scott and Vicki Klinowski joining us. Their son, Kevin, is a Catholic priest. I think it was about 2016, was it, or so?
That's correct.
That he was ordained. That's wonderful. Welcome. Let's talk about your backgrounds growing up. Vicki, we'll start with you. Where'd you grow up?
I grew up in Parma at St. Charles Parish.
Big parish.
I was baptized there, made my first communion, confirmation, was married there. My parents were married there in 1948. My siblings and I went to school there. It's all I know.
Yeah.
I know no other parish.
Isn't that wonderful, though?
Yeah, it is. It's home.
Yeah,
it really is.
Weddings, funerals,
mm-hmm.
on and
everything.
On it goes.
Yes.
Yeah, I can relate to that because I'm very similar clothes now. But for most of the big events, my grandmother was the organist, you know, stuff like that. So
wonderful.
It was delightful. So when I was an altar boy, I wasn't very good. So from off to the side behind this lattice work where the organ went, Paulie. Ring the bells. So I get that. So anyway, I can really relate to that experience, and Parma's that type of community as well.
It absolutely is. It's just home. We live in Parma. That's, like I said, that's all I know.
Now, where'd you go to high school?
I went to Parma Senior.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I did.
Scott?
Well, I grew up in Cleveland in Slavic Village, went to St. Stanislaus. After that, I went to Cathedral Latin School. I was the last graduating class there, trained by the Marianists. Funny story is that when I was in high school, my goal was to get to Parma and to St. Charles.
Yeah.
Because there was so much going on in St. Charles with the music program and the
sure.
sports and the community and the church and everything going on. And, you know, as God would put it, I got what I wished for.
Yeah.
We've been there for 38 years now and enjoyed every minute of it.
I don't know if you're old enough, but Pope John Paul II.
I'm old enough, actually. Yes,
you
I was.
Remember him being there?
I was there.
Cardinal.
We had to do our little Polish stuff, and he greeted all of us as we finished our little song or whatever we sang, and I can still remember it.
Wow! So you've met a saint.
I met a saint.
Wow! My wife thinks she has.
Maybe been in passing, but I did meet a saint.
My wife thinks I have, and that's her. But that's another story. I better not go too far down that road. So what did you do after high school?
High school, I joined the Marine Corps. Something probably, if anybody who knows me, back in those days, I was the least liked person to join the Marine Corps.
Really?
I didn't like to be yelled at, didn't like to be dirty, didn't like confrontation. So I joined the Marine Corps. musician in the Marine Corps, and got out after 4 years and went back to college at Tri-C and met Vicki.
Okay, that's where you guys met?
Yes.
Okay. How'd you meet?
In a class it was a computer class. I was doing stuff. I was working at the grocery store at the time, and everything was going into scanning and computers, and they wanted me to do some stuff with that. So I took a class there, and we met, and we started going out, and been together ever since.
So you worked in markets when you had to know the price of everything when people checked out.
Oh, yes, everything memorized, and yes. Mm-hmm.
You imagine trying to find workers that could do that today?
No.
Some have trouble with the scanner, which is, in any case. So kind of caught your eye in class?
Oh, yeah, caught my eye the day she walked in. And it was always just funny that she sat in front of me, and she did leave for a week. She went on a cruise, and she was gone. And I was very worried she wasn't coming back. And I talked to her friend, who happens to be our sister-in-law now.
Okay.
Her friend married my brother. Was she coming back? And she came back, and then I finally got the nerve to ask her out, and we went out and we went and saw Oh God, You Devil, the movie with George Burns. It was our first date. And I think from that moment on, I don't think we've ever been apart. So it was love at first sight, kind of.
Yeah.
At least on my part.
Did it take a while, Vicki, for you? Or
a little bit, yeah. He you always had the answers in the back of the class, and it annoyed me. So I struggled with that
wise
class.
Guy, yeah.
And I'm like, who is this guy? But once I got to know him, I, you know, found out what a great guy he is, and loving and compassionate, and so
yeah,
here we are.
My wife and I went on a date, our first date, and went to this movie, and it was kind of a, it wasn't R-rated or something. It's uncomfortable scenes. So I said, do you want to leave? And she liked that.
Yeah.
So, you know, you never know what catches a woman's heart or a guy's heart, I suppose, like that. So you're married. What happens next?
We live in an apartment. We then buy our first house in Parma. Then we start our family. And Kevin is our firstborn. And then 2 years later, we have Andrea. And then we move 10 years later, still in Parma.
Mm-hmm.
We've been there for 25 years, so it's
home.
Our second home. Yeah.
I mean, we moved into Dogwood Estates, you know, in Parma. That was the place back in the 60s, Dogwood Estates. And,
okay.
And it was a funny story that we found the house, and it was a friend of mine's house that he was selling, and we were just getting together to hang out, and we moved in, and the kids loved it. We had a big yard. We have a bigger yard than we had in little Parma bungalow, and the kids made friends there, and I don't know. I can't think of moving out of there because it's home. It's where we were talking about this morning. It's where everybody's comfortable. It's where we call it Klonowski Sunday. You know, everybody's welcome. We may have hot dogs, we may have sandwiches, or we may have a big meal, but you're there to play in the yard, go in the pool, whatever it may be. But it's a place that the family could feel that it's a place to be home and comfortable.
You think in today's world, someone's in Denver, someone's in Seattle, someone's here, someone's there, that Sundays at grandma's house in many families don't exist anymore.
And no,
we
they
always,
don't.
My grandmother for Sunday dinner, my Italian grandmother, then the German Prussian sort of family on the other side at dinner time to watch Ed Sullivan.
Absolutely.
I think it's a problem in America, the lack of that nuclear family.
Absolutely. We, when our children were little, we either went to my mom's house or Scott's mom's house. So the kids always grew up with that. And now that we're grandparents, it's happening again. And, you know, the grandkids are always over our house on Sundays for the most part.
Mm-hmm. So everybody's in town.
Yeah, we only have two children, so everybody's in town. So
perfect.
And when Father Kevin can get off after Mass, if he doesn't have appointments, he's home. And his nieces and nephew now are really, they love when he's there because it's kind of the whole nuclear family thing. We're all there hanging out. You know, we pray together. We argue and fight or whatever kids do, you know. Just,
sure.
But it's all together. And it's fun. It's a time to relax and have something to eat and enjoy each other's company.
You go to bed at night, Sunday nights, I'm sure with a smile on your face.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And pretty exhausted, too.
Yeah, the grandkids are a little different than the kids, huh? Well, it's the age, I guess. In any case, stay with us. We'll be back on God Calling right after these messages, right here on AM 1260 The Rock, Cleveland Catholic Radio. Scott and Vicki Klonowski joining us on God Calling this week. Thank you for joining us as well. We hope you do each and every week at this very same time. You're beginning to raise your family. Ever any hesitancy of not necessarily wanting to go to church or stuff that parents run into?
No, Vicki? Fortunately, we never experienced that.
That's great.
I mean, it was just part of who we were. And Sundays, we went to Mass. And we never forced them. We just said, okay, let's get in the car. Let's go. We go to Mass and we come home and or stop at grandma's afterwards, whatever. Maybe talk about the homily or, you know, stay after Mass and visit with some families. And it was never a problem. Even as teenagers, they always were willing to go to Mass. They never argued with us. Mm-hmm. So we're very fortunate with that.
I think some parents today think that Sunday Mass is optional.
And, no, it wasn't optional. It was who we were and who we are and what we did. It wasn't something forced. It was just Sundays was, we went to Mass as a family and we prayed as a family. It was just...
It's life.
It was life. You're exactly right. That's exactly the way it was.
A lot of parishes, including mine, stream Masses now, which is great for the homebound. But I think some people look at that as the alternative to being there. we got to get them back.
We got to get them back. Absolutely.
I agree.
Yeah. And it's not going to be the easiest thing in the world because it was okay, but it's not anymore. And somebody's got to say to them, that's not okay anymore. Other than your soccer uniform, put some nice clothes on.
Right, and come to Mass.
And come to Mass.
Right.
Not to talk exclusively about Kevin, but did you notice early on any sort of an inclination toward religious life? Did he ask questions about that sort of thing, Vicki?
He always had questions about everything. And he did have, he had his little children's Bible, and he would come down and ask us questions. And he was very involved up in school also, and he was involved with the scouting program. And one of his first memories of when he was in scouts, he had to interview a priest and a nun. So they invited him to the rectory for lunch in third grade. He came with his lunchbox and, you know, had lunch there. And he felt very comfortable being there and talking with everybody. And as he got older, he started serving Mass and was involved in the junior high youth group and the high school youth group. And he served Masses during Holy Week a lot of times when it was mostly just seminarians, and he was asked to serve. He always wanted to serve funerals, weddings. I don't think he ever said no. He was very comfortable doing that.
The most comfortable place he ever looked, he never looked real comfortable on a basketball court. Mm-hmm. He's a good runner, but he really looked comfortable in the sanctuary.
Yeah.
Like he was supposed to be there. It was, and we used to talk about it all the time, he looked so happy up there.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just the way he was. I can't put my finger on it. You know, he points to Father Carlin saying something to him, our pastor, about, you know, Kevin, you think about being a priest? You should go to the seminary. And as put it in his mind when he was in sixth or seventh grade.
Sixth grade.
But he was naturally inclined to just, he enjoyed the Mass. He really enjoyed what was going on. He always paid attention, as well as a sister. But he really was just interested in what was going on in the life of the church.
So as a parent, you're seeing these little hints. How do you encourage that without pushing it? There's a fine line, or do you just take cues from him?
I don't think we ever pushed anything on him. It was just all very natural. When it came time to deciding about college, he never really said, I want to go here, I want to go there. He just one day said, I want to go to Borromeo. And we said, are you sure you don't want to look anywhere else? You know, that's fine, but, you know, keep your options open. And he goes, no, this is what I want to do. And we said, okay, you know, we'll support you, whatever. And if it works out, fine. If not, it's okay too.
Sure.
Again, we're support. It's kind of a funny story, but the company I was working for at the time offered him and me three visits to any college in the lower 48. We can go to three weekends, and they would pay all expenses. And I told Kevin, I said, we could go visit any place. He goes, no, give it to somebody who's going to use it because I'm going to Borromeo. I'm going to go to the seminary. And I said, okay, great. I mean, and he was always focused on that. And he loves learning. He loves school. And I think he felt it was an opportunity for him to at least try it for a year. A friend of his brother was in the seminary for 1 year. He had dated a girl for a long time. It took a year off, and he tried the seminary, and he said it was the best thing he did because he came out, and then they got married. He said, but it's worth a try, Mr. K. You know, it's not going to hurt anything. Mm-hmm. But he was very comfortable at the seminary as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think there's some ideas in vocation directors will tell you, try it for a year. But some people have it in their head that they're going to lock the door behind you. Like, you're in, and it's just not true. It's that simple. When's the first time he vocalized this to you? Was it just the college choice or something before that?
Pretty much the college choice. We kind of picked up different times, but just kind of let it go. We didn't want to make it sound like we were forcing him on anything or whatever. We let them make their own decisions a lot of times and learn from their mistakes or no mistakes, you know. But that's really the first time he sat down and talked to us about, this is what I want to do.
And you were clearly supportive.
Oh.
How important to let them know that if it doesn't work out, that's fine, but explore.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And that's with anything that they ever did, both our children. Whatever they did, we always told them, you got to try it. See it through. If you committed to a basketball or whatever, you finish the season. And if you don't like it, you don't have to do it next time, but honor your commitment. And we told them, try it for a year. And if you want to go back, that's fine. If not, it's okay too.
Yeah.
But always give your best. you know, in no matter what you do, try your hardest, and if it works, fine. If not, that's okay.
You mentioned him liking studying and that sort of thing. He's currently in Rome, I understand.
Not yet.
He's going to Rome.
Currently in Vermont.
Okay.
Italian
immersion right now.
And
he'll be home in a couple of weeks. And then
the courses are taught in Italian.
So all his classes will be in Italian.
That's somebody who likes to study.
Yes.
He also has to learn a bunch of other languages, too. So he has to learn, he knows Greek and Latin, but he has to know Hebrew and French and German and a plethora of other things. But it's what he's always liked to do.
Yeah.
He's loved to study. He loves to learn. He loves to read.
He's a curious mind. Yeah.
Since he was a little kid, because was never a good enough answer. He wanted to understand why. And much to the chagrin of many of his teachers. But he is who he is because of that.
Yeah, yeah.
So.
Folks, stay with us. We'll be back on God Calling right after these messages. Vicki and Scott Klonowski joining us on God Calling. We were talking about your son Kevin, a priest, being in this immersion program up in Vermont. So, Vicki, we were laughing during the commercial that if he calls home, it's an immersion program. He can't say, hi, Mom. It's when... Buongiorno, mama.
Right. So it's been a little difficult. You know, we'll text back and forth. I'll try to just answer with an emoji or something because I don't know Italian. Translating sometimes does not come across very good.
Could be dangerous.
So I feel safer just sending an emoji back and forth. But I think we're down to 16 days. I texted him this morning and said, 16 more days and you'll be home. And then he'll leave in September. For Rome.
Okay. And how long will that be?
Well, they're saying 6 years.
Wow.
He will be able to come home. He'll come home at Christmas time and in the summers.
And be able to speak English.
Yes. Yes.
His nieces are very worried about that. They want to know, can they talk to Uncle Kevin in English now? Because they're very worried about it. So they're trying to learn Italian.
Oh, wow.
And it's actually
That's
pretty
cute.
Fun. It's cute.
That's very cute, yeah. Scott, during the were there ups and downs during the seminary years, and how did you support them?
I'm not quite sure there were downs. I think there were times of, like anybody making their career or something like that, times of confusion, maybe times of wondering, is this the right thing? But... you know, we got involved as much as we could be involved in the seminary, but yet all of them have their own space, and he was in his own space. After Borromeo, he decided that he was going to go to St. Mary's, and then he asked me to coach the St. Mary's basketball team. We play against Borromeo, and then we go to some tournaments. So I was involved with that and became friends with a lot of the guys in the seminary, some that became priests, some that have gotten out and become married and have children. And the support was just being there for the phone call of, you know, Dad.
Tough day today.
Yeah. And just listen. I mean, all you can do is listen and help them pray on the problems that they have or just be that supportive ear. And sometimes there's no answer. It's just a matter of someone to talk to. And that's what we try to do.
They must have been a good team because they had Coach K.
If you know that was the joke. And I say, I'm not that Coach K. So that was the...
Exactly. Vicki, what advice, if someone has a young man or woman thinking about a vocation, how would you tell them to foster that but not necessarily impose your will?
Right. I always tell people that I know, we have several friends that their sons have gone into the seminary, and I told them to let them try it. There's nothing bad that's going to happen. They may come out a better person or... they'll be more prayerful, or they'll stick with it and become a priest, but be supportive. And I try always, when Kevin comes home to visit on his day off, I try not to talk too much about church or whatever, because I feel like when he comes home, it's coming home and being Kevin, you know. And I think he gets that, you know, 24/7. It's his day to come home and be with family. And I encourage that to other people too, that, you know, be supportive, but also let them come home and let them have their time to
decompress, maybe.
Decompress.
It's a tough job. There's no question about that.
Sure.
Well, there's no doubt that Kevin has a lot of friends. And we were talking on the way here that a lot of the friends they have are children of the friends that we had in Ministries of St. Charles, like pre-Cana, our first thing we ever really got involved with. And out of that group, we have Kevin's a priest, and Sister Anna Rose is a nun at Steubenville. And
we've had her on the show.
Father Ian Kelly,
just recently ordained, and now we have a seminarian, Jake Cermak, kind of all that were in that group, and they're still friends. They still hang out, and there's a wide age range from Sister Anna Rose, the oldest, down to I think Jake, the youngest or whatever. But it was just, it was the people surrounded, and he also had a network of people he could talk to that weren't just mom and dad, and they were people that we knew and people that we trusted. So it was kind of a, what do they say? It takes a village to raise a child.
Sure.
Well, it takes a community to raise the religious life, and mm-hmm. and friends that were very supportive.
Having all those vocations though out of that group has got to be a great blessing to you. You stand back and say, "Boy, it was really worth it." I'm guessing, Vicki.
Oh, absolutely. It's funny because we had never talked about that before, and then coming here today, we thought, "Wow, there's four just from our pre-Cana group that we were in a long time ago." And watch those children all grow up, and they all still have a very strong faith, and so do their families.
Yeah. Getting to kids in those junior high school years, boy, a lot of kids, kind of, again, back to what I said earlier, that parents think the Mass is optional, and without a regiment, a lot of them are veering off and not coming back, which is very, very sad.
It is, yes.
I think because, and Kevin said this to me years ago, but it was important to us, and it was something, when he was little, he saw how important it was to us, and there was something special there that he wanted to be part of something special, that the way we received communion and the way that we prayed afterwards. It was something mysterious. It was something that he felt that he wanted to be part of, and because we made it important to us. We weren't people that prayed the rosary every night at 7 o'clock, and we said grace before meals, and... Mm-hmm. But we made our prayer life kind of a normal part of our life. It was just kind of who we were,
like I said earlier. Right.
Yeah. What's he say about being a priest?
He's very happy.
That's wonderful.
This is going to be a whole new adventure for him, going off to Rome. And, he really won't be being in the priest life as much as he's going to be in school all the time now.
Right. Which he likes.
So it's going to be, he does like that too. So. It's going to be an adventure, and it'll be curious to see how it goes for him.
When he got out of the seminary here, where was he assigned?
Holy Family in Stowe was his first assignment, Father Paul Rosing as his pastor. And he loved it down in Stowe. It was a little far away, but it was far enough that we couldn't be there all the time because you wouldn't want mom and dad, watching you record shows. That would be kind of tough. So we would go out and visit him, but he really liked Stowe. And then he was asked to go to St. Joseph's Strongsville, which he really loved. He was there during the COVID times, so it was kind of hard to get relationships.
Oh, boy.
But the parishioners really, really embraced him a lot. So it was a tough going away for him this last time. But
yeah, you could do what the bishop asks.
You do what the bishop asks. The bishop said go, and it's time to go.
When? Folks, thank you for joining us. It's been great, and thank you for your daughter with her wonderful, soon to be six children, and obviously this father's got a lot of children, and adults and little guys. But thanks so much for joining us. We really appreciate it. Right here in God Calling, Scott and Vicki Klonowski, our guests, and thank you for joining us on the radio as well. We hope you'll join us each and every week at this very same time, right here on AM 1260 The Rock for God Calling.
Thank you for listening to God Calling. If you missed part of today's show or you just want to hear it again, go to our website, am1260therock.com, and click on the On Demand tab. And remember, wherever you are in life, God is calling you.
The preceding program was a production of St. Peter the Rock Media and is brought to you by you. If you liked it, consider making a donation and supporting Catholic radio programming on AM 1260 The Rock.
Click on the orange donate button at am1260therock.com.